everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and you are watching the Market Scale Network. I am delighted to have our guest today. So 2 weeks ago, we had Jordan Dickerson, who's the head of supply chain for Bad Birdie Golf. And Jordan walked through all of the cool stuff that has to happen in order to make sure that golfers are able to express themselves and look a little crazy on the golf course. This next guest has no need to look a little crazy. He stands out as soon as he hits the ball. Trey Griggs, welcome to Hammer Down, buddy.
Mike, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted, man. Trey, your baseball card, the back of your card is insane to really go through it. As I was kind of prepping for our show, you've got time at DAT. You've got time at My Freight World Carrier. You've got Port TMS, Trucker Tools, Lean Solutions Group, and now Beta Consulting Group. My God, man, you've been everywhere.
Well, and that's all after a career as a high school physics teacher and as a youth pastor. So we could tack a few more things onto that. Insane is probably the right word for the journey, but it's been a lot of fun.
All right. How do we go from youth minister and high school science physics or high school physics teacher into the trucking space? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the rest of us. Most of us have a crazy story of how we ended up here. Most of us did not plan to be here, but once we're here, we love it. And it's really almost impossible to leave. My story is I was enjoying teaching and doing ministry. In fact, being a high school physics teacher to this day was my favorite job that I ever had. I'd go back and do that in a heartbeat if I could. But what really led to it is my wife and I were both educators. And then when we had our first daughter, she wanted to stay home and we both valued that. And so we made that decision. And after about 2 years of only one income as a teacher and a part-time youth pastor, it wasn't sustainable. I didn't have any desire to be a principal. So I knew I needed to make a transition. And I had a good friend that said, you know, I think you should get into sales. You have the personality for it. You're competitive. I think you do really well. And I remember hearing that and rejecting it right away because the only vision that I had of sales was a used car salesman, somebody slimy, sleazy, you know, lying, whatever, just trying to make a sale. And I didn't want anything to do with that. And my friend just politely corrected me. He said, no, listen, every business has to have sales or it doesn't have a business, which is very fundamental and should have made a lot of sense. But as a teacher, you don't think about where revenue comes from. You just go and do your job and you get a paycheck. And so this was somewhat revolutionary to me to start thinking about sales and how every business needed to have that. And so decided to give that a shot. The only really, you know, real career move that I could make at that time was to do an entry-level sales job. I couldn't get a professional sales job because I had no experience. And unfortunately, a lot of companies don't value the skills that you have as a teacher, even though looking back, I think they should, because communicating and being able to teach is a big part of sales. So unfortunately, I didn't get a professional job. All I could do was door-to-door office supply sales. And so I sold office supplies business to business for Quill up in Portland, Oregon, which is a whole nother story for a whole other show, walking in the rain in a suit, trying to sell paper and toner to people for the first time. It was a shock to the system. There's no doubt, but I figured it out, did it for 15 months. And then after that, I went to a recruiter, just said, hey, I'd like to have a professional sales job now, you know, something preferably with a base and maybe some insurance, something like that. Cause door to door was 100% commission. And this recruiter just happened to have a good relationship with DAT, Freight and Analytics, out in Portland, Oregon. So I had the opportunity to interview with them and got my start there and learned a lot about the industry through them. After 4 years of being with them, moved on to some other companies, some startups, and just started to see different avenues of the industry. And I feel, you know, looking back, I've had a very well-rounded education in transportation by being in many different companies with many different products and services, and I have a pretty good view of the industry. So it was a wild ride, but that's how I got in, was door-to-door sales and a recruiter that just happened to know somebody in transportation. And that's how it happened.
Got it. So if I fast forward to Beta Consulting Group, tell me a little bit about the company, man. What are you working on?
Well, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. I always felt like this was where I was headed at some point, but I didn't have the courage to make that move. It was very difficult to do. My wife has been a homemaker for 14 years. She just went back to work the past year and a half. But prior to us starting Beta, and when I started Beta, we were a one income family still. And there's a lot of scary aspects of that, a lot of fear of failure that goes into that. And it really took some courage and some support by my wife and other people in the industry to start my own thing. And so I started Beta thinking I was going to do sales consulting, and quickly realized that that wasn't really my sweet spot. It wasn't what I enjoyed doing. And I don't know that I was great at doing that necessarily, but what I really enjoy doing and the way I think about sales and marketing is really in the form of messaging and the words that you use. You know, the words that people use are so important, especially in sales and marketing. I learned that as a sales professional, to stop using certain words that were doubt words, such as if and could and hope to and would like to, words like just, trying to get those out of the vocabulary because they plant seeds of doubt subconsciously in the mind of a buyer. And so the words are very important. And what I've realized is that in transportation, a lot of companies have not taken time to think through the words that they're going to use to communicate with the market, whether that be what they're going to put on their website, how they're going to talk in a sales call, what they put out on social media, and all of those types of things. And so we geared our company to help companies do that, to help transportation companies solidify what their message is, what their foundational message and story is. And then we also help companies create customer testimonial videos, because I believe that's the most powerful marketing deliverable outside of a word of mouth referral. And so having customers talk about why they use you and the problems you solve and how their company has grown as a result is gold. And so we want to help companies create those assets to speed up the sales cycle, create that social proof, and have prospects have a higher level of certainty and trust in making a decision to buy a product.
I love that point. And I love the point of not only testimonials, but, you know, getting testimonials that mean the most. When you kind of engage with a customer, what is your perfect deliverable, your perfect outcome? What is the perfect testimonial, the nicest thing a customer could say about either a trucker or a carrier or a broker?
I mean, some of the testimonials that we've heard are customers that literally say, I don't know if I'd still be in business if I hadn't gone with them, whether it's a piece of technology that they're putting in play or maybe a value-added service that has, you know, just changed the way that they were able to do business. For example, you know, we've been able to do testimonials for some of the rating services in the industry, and being able to price freight more accurately, especially in a crazy market like we've had recently, where you really need to price it so that not only can you win the freight, but also make some money at the same time. Because I think that especially freight brokers have struggled a lot with that in terms of getting the market right and being able to hold market share. And so pricing has been a very valuable tool. And so some companies that we've talked to have just said, I don't know that we'd still be around if it weren't for having a better pricing tool. So hearing some of those types of things where it's drastically impacted a business and kept them afloat or helped them succeed or helped them really achieve goals, I love hearing that. It never really gets old. And that's really exciting to hear. So obviously, if you've made a difference in a company's life and helped them succeed or help them survive, I mean, it's very personal. I'm a business owner. You know, if there's a product or service out there that helps me survive in the tough times, that's going to mean a lot to me.
So obviously we've talked about, you've been in a bunch of different places, and we're talking about, you know, not only staying afloat in a tough time, but as you look over the next couple of years, where do you see the market heading? What are the changes you foresee on the horizon? What has you excited about the freight and logistics space from, let's say, 2024 through 2027?
Man, I don't really have a black ball. It's hard to make predictions on what's coming down the road. But I will say this, the industry never ceases to, you know, surprise and amaze all of us. It's very resilient. Obviously, I always joke around with my friends that don't understand transportation. And I always say to them, hey, as long as you have to wipe your butt, transportation is going to be in business, because we've got to get that toilet paper to the store for you. You know, that's never going to end. And so it's a great market. It's a great industry to be in. Where it's going, man, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be somewhat cyclical, like it has been. I'm hearing a lot of positive feedback about, you know, companies, you know, placing orders, inventory getting a little bit lower. So, you know, freight volume should be coming up a little bit, capacity tightening a little bit, even more than people anticipated, which is a good thing for rates. It's a good thing for brokers and carriers to be able to make some money to stay in the market. What I'm excited about is seeing companies within our industry really start to build their brand to become a household name. We're starting to see some freight brokers do that, where you know, people just recognize them by their name, by their logo, and what they stand for, what they mean. I feel like transportation has been one of those industries for so long that it's kind of been behind the curtain. You know, it's been happening under the surface. It just continues to happen. It's very relationship built. And so the idea of branding and marketing has not been on the forefront. But now with social media and with the ability for personal brands to be a part of it, I think companies are starting to realize that they are building a brand, whether they're intentional about it or not. They are building a reputation. And the question is, who's going to build it? So I'm excited to see companies move in that direction and build brands. You know, I'm excited to see new technology start to come back in the industry. I feel like we've been in a little bit of a lull when it comes to technology innovations this year in particular. I think, you know, private equity and venture capital money, you know, and the access to that has made that a little bit more difficult and might continue for a while. But I'm hopeful. I'm very much an eternal optimist. I think it's going to be great next year. We'll see what happens, but it sounds like we're moving in the right direction.
in terms of brand building, and you're the expert here, man, who's doing really great work in our space? Who are the brands that you kind of admire? And given the target of this podcast, which is folks who are, you know, new or recent or soon to be college grads thinking about the space. So this is an episode that if you're a kid thinking about marketing, or you're a marketing student and you're thinking, is supply chain for me? This is the conversation I want you to be a part of. Who do you admire? Who's doing great work out there?
Well, the company that always comes to mind first and probably will for a while is Freightvana, without a doubt. I think that they've done an incredible job of building their culture, both internally and externally, and doing it in a way that has been very efficient, very enjoyable, and has gotten their entire team involved. You know, one thing I've noticed about companies is that as they start to dabble in social media, they like to put these really strict, parameters around what that might look like. And everything has to go through the company. And there's a lot of red tape sometimes that comes up in policies, where Freightvana has taken the opposite approach. They've said, hey, we want everybody in our company to have a personal brand. They're not afraid of people posting or creating kind of their own brand and putting that out there with the Freightvana logo right next to it. And what it's done is it's attracted a lot of people, the right kind of people, to their business, whether it be customers who want to be a part of what they're doing with their trailer pools, or whether it be, you know, prospective employees who want to be a part of a great culture and a great environment. My good friend Josh Breeze over there, who's really in charge of that effort, he told me many times they've spent $0 on recruiting, which in this market is really crazy, because, you know, it's hard to find good talent. It's very difficult to do that, especially just, you know, internally, like with only your own recruiters. They spent $0 on recruiting because they've done such a good job of building their brand. They have people wanting to be a part of what they're doing because of what they've built. An excellent company with an excellent brand, and people want to be a part of it. And that, to me, is the recipe for success when it comes to brand building. It kind of reminds me, outside of our industry, of an organization like the Savannah Bananas, who they've put a really good product out there. And not only that, but they've also helped every player to have a personal brand. And as a result, their reach is vast and wide. And everybody wants to not only come to Bananas games, baseball players now want to play for the Bananas. Like those minor leaguers that are just tired of the minor league, you know, grind and don't think they're ever going to make it to the pros. They're wanting to play for the Bananas now because of this culture that they've really built. And it's all been through social media. It's all been almost all organic. And that's the cool thing about the age that we're in now and where we're moving into, is that some of the traditional marketing, protocols that you might have of, like, you have to have blog content, you have to have email outreach, you have to have these things. I would question that. I don't think you have to have nearly as much of that now as maybe you did in the past, because of the power of what you can build with social media, especially if you bring your entire company into that play. If you start to work with everybody in your company that wants to be out in public, that wants to build a personal brand, then that reach goes a lot further, because we all know personal brands, especially at the beginning, reach a lot faster than corporate brands. Corporate brands will eventually catch up. You know, people know Nike now. They don't know anybody really that works there except, you know, Phil Knight. You don't really know anybody else that works at Nike. The brand is bigger than any one person. But when you're starting, you know, people have a greater reach than the brand does, and it slowly starts to grow together, and then the brand starts to take on a life of its own. So you can do a lot now, just be getting really creative and using social media to build that brand, especially if you invite everybody in the organization to participate in that, and now everybody has ownership of that brand. That's a really fascinating shift in marketing from what used to just be very corporate marketing structure that used to just kind of, you know, permeate throughout, and that shift is happening, and Freightvana, in my opinion, has done the best job of that.
Yeah, they're terrific. I love Lars and Don over there. Don Everhart, who I believe is their chief product officer, chief technology officer.
They're all great. Shannon Breen,
Every Tuesday, you know, here's the tech landscape. He posted out on LinkedIn, and I think it took about 2 weeks before half the freight tech companies in the world started pinging him saying, "Why am I not on there? What do I have to do?" And it was brilliant, absolutely phenomenal work.
Yeah.
Trey, along these lines, right? You know, in terms of coaching and helping people find their own voice, right? So I might be wrong. My feeling is a lot of folks that are the hardcore operators, the folks that really know the industry in and out, aren't necessarily the most outgoing, sharing people. Is this something that a company might approach Beta Consulting Group on and say, "Hey, look, how do we share our expertise, or how do I encourage my team to share their expertise in a way that, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats?"
Yeah, we love helping companies with ideation, trying to figure out ways to get creative and do that. But what I'd say is this, is I would not put any expectations on anybody based on the job that they're in, but on the person that they are. you're going to have people who are extroverts that love the limelight. They want to be in the spotlight. They want to talk and produce content. Like, pour into those people and help them do that. There are going to be others that say, you know what? I don't want to be on camera. I don't want to do that. There's still a strategy at play here. They can build a brand just by sharing content, by liking things, by commenting on things, by creating a voice that way. You don't always have to be on camera or visual to build a brand. So there's many ways to do it. It's not one recipe to success in this regard, but it is a matter of getting everybody on the same page, you know, and learning about what they care about. And this is the really important thing. When it comes to helping people build personal brands, it's really important that they stay authentic to who they are. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to, you know, copy what someone else is doing. Here's a great example. In our industry, our good friend Paul Bernard Jarzlowski over at Freight Caviar, I mean, the dude has built a dynasty on memes. I mean, so good. Like, he's been, and what people don't know, he's been doing it for a long time. A lot of people think he's an overnight success. He's been doing it for a long time, but that's his shtick. That's who he is. He thinks in terms of memes. I thought about it for a while. I'm like, man, maybe I should do that. I don't think that way. I love responding to comments with gifts. That's one of my things, is finding a good gift. That's fun for me. But I also tend to be a little bit more of a teacher, more of an educator by nature. I tend to sometimes be just a little goofy myself, kind of creating weird content, having fun with it. And what I learned early on is I've just got to be true to myself. And that's what people will respond to. If I tried to be the meme king, like Paul Bernard Jarzlowski, and I don't think that way, people would figure that out pretty quickly. It wouldn't be good, and it wouldn't be me. So I talk about things that matter to me. I talk about my kids, my family. I talk about golf. I talk about music. Sometimes I just do silly things out there. If I'm learning something about leadership or sales and marketing, I want to share it because I have that kind of teacher mentality still. And so I've just learned to be very authentic to who I am and not try to be anybody else, because we're all running our own race. So again, if you're trying to coach your people on building personal brands, some people might want to be on video. Some people might not. Some people might be like, should I talk about my family? Well, is that what you care about? Should I talk about my experience as a minor league baseball player? If you care about that and you learned a lot, absolutely. I think that people respond to authenticity. It's just a human response. When you see somebody being real, you just want to be a part of it. You want to hear more. You want to learn more about it. So that's a lot of my encouragement. And we do help companies with the ideation of that, the creation of that, some of those best practices for engaging on social media and creating that personal brand, regardless of who you are as an extrovert, introvert. Yes, we do.
Trey, one of the final question I ask every guest is, you know, if you're talking to again, our perfect kind of our ICP, if you will, for this podcast is a newer recent college grad thinking about our industry. What's the piece of advice you would give to that person when they're thinking about joining supply chain?
I'd say this, a couple of things. I'll throw a couple of things out there. First of all, I think when it comes to marketing, at the end of the day, you have to understand that people ultimately want to be entertained. Entertainment comes in different forms. Sometimes it's goofy and silly. Sometimes it's just really good music or really good artwork or really good video. But people want to be entertained. I think that's a big part of it that you have to remember whenever you're communicating with other people, is make it enjoyable, make it fun, even if it's a serious topic, because people will respond to that. Again, I really believe that people live stressful lives and want to be entertained. So that's one of the things that I think about a lot when I think about content or communicating with people, is to be entertaining in some form or fashion, whatever fits your brand, whatever's going to make that really stand out. I think the second thing is this, is don't get stuck to the textbook marketing principles that you've probably learned in school. It's not that they're bad, but it's just not the only thing that's out there. There are other things that can work and do work, and to really try to figure that out, really try to figure out what's going to move the needle for your organization. And it could be something completely different. I talked to one client today that a lot of their outreach is very personal. Their sales team is literally writing handwritten letters. Why? Because that actually stands out now, because nobody does it anymore. Well, you're not going to read about that in your college textbook on how to market. It's not going to be probably the top, practice that they want you to do, but it works because it stands out. So it's all about trying to find ways to stand out in a positive way that's still authentic to who you are. And it may not be in the textbook that you just read, at school. It may be something completely different. So just keeping your eyes and ears open to what's working and seeing if that's something that you could potentially mimic or do. And being open to that, because marketing comes in many, many forms and fashions. It's not just the standard processes that we do sometimes.
Trey, if people want to get in touch with you, people want to find you, where's the best place to look?
then go to our website for sure and connect with me there. It's betaconsultinggroup.com. And we'd love to connect with you, especially if you're in the market for some of the help that we provide. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I can answer all of my DMs on there, or you can find me on every social media platform as TreyGriggs24, TreyGriggs24, my college basketball number. That's how we are on social media.
And if we really want to attract your attention, we respond with a gift, right?
Yes. A good one. Absolutely. I'll do it every time.
Trey Griggs, thank you so much for joining Hammer Down, brother man. It was great to see you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Good to see you, man.